Yo, TFP, Technical Foul Podcast. Y'all know what it is. It's your boy, Up D, back at it. Season 5, Episode 2. And got a lot to talk about today, from Steph and the Warriors to the Lakers and the current downfall. Not really a downfall, but the struggles that they're having. I got a little bit to say about the entire Kyrie situation, and there's this crazy squad out east, you know, out in DC, who's absolutely killing it right now. But you know, let's get right to it, guys. Let's just talk about these guys right here. The Golden State Warriors, best record in the league. I mean, minus the loss that they had last night against the Charlotte Hornets, which was disappointing for Golden State Warriors fans. But as you can see over here, record is 10-2, you know. Steph is playing at an insane level. The young core, Gary Payton, the second, not the first, the second, is absolutely killing it off the bench. Draymond Green out here dishing and diamond like he was back in 2016. On top of that, they got Wiseman and Clay, possibly Clay coming back, as was reported, in 5 to 6 weeks. But the most interesting aspect of this entire squad is the fact that Steph is back to MVP form. In the first, let's say, I think they're going to play the 13th game tonight. But under 15 games, he's already second in the league in points per game and fifth in the league in assists per game. On top of that, he's had 9+ three-pointers made in 36 games. Triple the amount of this person in second place. This is all time, by the way. Here's the thing with Steph playing at the level that he's playing in right now. I base it off of the time he took off last season when he hurt his arm. That time off really, really made him the player he is right now. Getting him back into the form that he's playing in right now. If it wasn't, I think that's the best thing that it doesn't sound good when it comes out of my mouth, but it's in a good way. The injury was the best thing that could have happened to this guy, because the way he's playing right now is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I think he's in his early 30s too, so it's like you would think the guy should be, you know, the wheels should be falling off right now, and it's not. It's not. The team follows what this guy does. He's the leader. He's pulling up from half court like he was back in 14, 15, 16. Like, it's nothing to him. He's grown as a player. And the best thing that's ever happened in his career right now is that injury. As bad as it sounds, it's the best thing that's happened to him so far this at this point in his career. Because they're on pace to beat their own record that they set, which was 73-9. And I think they may lose, you know, 10 or 12 games this season. I don't think they're going to be able to beat that record. If they do, we're going to come back to this, you know, recording, and I'm going to laugh at myself, because that's a big feat, you know. And the team is, he's literally carrying these guys, you know. No Clay, as I said in the past. No Wiseman. You know, just a bunch of young guys being led by the greatest point guard in the NBA right now, one of the greatest point guards of all time, in my opinion. So, you know, the fact that he's playing already at an MVP level, God, please. We all want this as basketball fans, as NBA fans, as sports fans in general. We all want to see this continue, you know. You know, the basketball gods, let this man do his thing. Let him play the way he's playing right now. You know, like, we don't want to see another injury, is what I'm trying to say. Because this is special. This is something that we want to continue seeing, you know, the confidence he's building up in the younger generation. You see cats pulling up from the middle of nowhere. Cats pulling up from literally the middle of nowhere and cashing it in because of who? This guy right here. So the Warriors' success is solely on this guy. And it showed the first 12, 13 games of the season. You know, so big ups to the Warriors, big ups to Steph. Hopefully that continues going on into the season and then into the playoffs as well. But there's another team out west, the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, guys, LA Lakers, they're not really continuing to struggle in a, you know, in a sense where it's like, yeah, okay, LeBron's hurt. But when you look at the stats when LeBron's off and when he's on, it's like insane. I get it. Russ is scoring way more than he is with the first couple games he's played than he was when Brown was on the floor, and that's obvious. You got to sacrifice a little to win, you know? So, but the biggest thing over here is the low three-point percentage without Brown, okay? Anthony Davis on currently to today, which is 11/15/2021, you know, November 15th. For anyone who doesn't know what 11/15 is, it's November 15th. Anthony Davis is currently averaging 20%. He's currently not averaging, currently shooting 20% from the three-point line. And you want this guy to space the floor, you know, crash the boards. You know, you want to be flexible when it's crunch time. And when people blame this cat right here, Russell Westbrook, for the downfall, I'm putting that in quotes, the downfall that they currently have been going through as a team so far, when the blame is solely on this cat right here, that's when you know, like, people don't know what the heck they're talking about. Respectfully, they have no idea what the hell they're talking about. My opinion is right there. Y'all can see it. It's the head coach. Vogel is the problem out in LA. And I've always said this in the past. I said he's a subpar coach. He's going to get a free ring because he's got LeBron and AD. But people were always like, you know, like, you don't know what you're talking about. He's a solid coach. He did well in Indiana. Well, that was what? About almost 10 years ago? You know, out in the weak Eastern Conference. We're out west here, you know. You got Dame. You're facing up with Dame, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. And the blame goes on the guys that are dribbling the ball. Like, what? Where do they do that at? Like, you know? So, there's a couple positives here. During LeBron's absence, okay? I'll get back to Vogel, but the positives and the negatives, all right? I'll point it out right here. I already pointed out the negative. I already said what I said about AD, and I mean it. Because AD needs to start shooting better, first of all, outside, you know, the three-point line, mid-range. You got to start shooting better. And I understand it's early in the season. That's a negative the team is going through right now. Another negative the team is going through is having guys like LeBron, you know, THT, Trevor Ariza. You know, not, just the team is not fully healthy. They're not there. They're not there as a full roster every game, you know? And again, Frank, this is when you, as a coach, should say, hey, why am I taking the guys who got us up this late in the game, this early in the game? Why am I taking them out? Why do we keep this core out here? Continue the dominance that we have on the court. And then when I feel like it's time for them to step off, I'm going to let them step off. You don't pull the brakes, you know, you don't press the brakes on something that's good. And I think there's a lot of coaches that are doing that, not just Vogel. You see it out east right now with Boston. I'll get to Boston later on. But there's a lot of squads out in the NBA who just press on those brakes when they're up 20 points. Because right now, you know, like, 20-point lead in the NBA is nothing. And to blame it on the guys who are dribbling the ball, again, I'm saying it again because people keep blaming Russ. People keep blaming AD. People keep blaming LeBron. Guys like that. When in reality, it's the coaching and the decisions the coaches make. So, my opinion is to get rid or put him in the hot seat and say, yo, better fix a couple things here or your contract is terminated. Gone. Done. Done. Dada. See you later. You know? So, there's only one positive, a couple positives, but the main one is LeBron coming back in a couple days, in a couple games. THT coming back, you know, healthy. That's a positive. So hopefully this Laker team figures it out because I got them coming out. I had them coming out the West until LeBron stepped out with that injury. So he's finally a human being. Shout out to JJ Redick because, you know, LeBron never gets injured, especially this early in the season. So load manage as much as you can, big fella, because 20 years in this league is crazy. It's crazy what your body's been able to do in 20 years. But yeah, man. Let's jump ships and talk about my guy, Kyrie. Kyrie, man, I love you to death. I love you to death, my guy. You know, great person off the court. Even better player on the court when you actually play, which is why this segment is here. Brooklyn really doesn't need Kyrie to win anything. You know? Why? It's listed out right there. Better record, you know? They got KD and Harden really just doing absolutely fine without him. I think since Kyrie's joined the team, and I think he went on the team 2019, but since 2019-2020 season, and we all know what happened after that 2020 season, but the Nets have been 39 and 31 without Kyrie. That's a winning record without Kyrie Irving, okay? Since acquiring Harden late last year, with KD and just Harden on the floor, the Nets have a record of 19-6. All right. Not only that, the ball movement and the chemistry and with the guys already there. So once Kyrie already comes back, once he comes back to the squad right here, it's like, yo, we gotta just rework what's going on here. Like, Patty Mills, bro, like coming off the bench, of course. I think I don't watch every Brooklyn Nets game, but I think Patty comes off the bench some games and starts a few games. That's what I think. I'm not saying it's going to totally tarnish the chemistry that they have, but it's going to be a lot of problems where it's like, yo, like, whoa, Joe's open, but KD's got the little guy. Who am I going to, you know, stuff like that, little things like that where it's going to be bickering. You got James Harden, you go Mr. Egotistical himself. You know, that's if Kyrie comes back. A big if. He's losing mad bread by not playing. Alright? He's potentially out for the rest of the year. The only time, think about this, guys. The only time we're probably going to see Kyrie this year is All-Star Game. When fans are able to vote, have the, you know, possibly. And that's like a 50% chance. You know? That's a 50% chance, maybe even higher. Maybe I'm just, you know, in my own head. But Brooklyn doesn't need these guys, this guy right here. Best thing for me, my opinion, you know, I think they should let him go. Go. Trade him. Get Ben. Talk to Philly. Daryl. They're like, Mr. Morey over there. Stop being in your own head and make a trade that actually works on your end. And the other teams end. You know what I'm saying? So it works financially, contractually, it works. So the best thing for both sides to do is let their egos go and bring in a guy who wants to play in Ben Simmons. And then take a guy who doesn't want to follow a New York State rule, a law, where you have to have a vaccine. You know, it's going to fix a lot of problems. So Brooklyn, if y'all need me, you know, to be a GM, holla at me, you know what I'm saying? I'll DM one of you guys, you know, Steve Nash. Check your DMs, my guy. All right? Pause. Whoa, that sounds different. Anyways, on to the next topic, guys. Look. Washington Wizards are the best team in the Eastern Conference. Crazy, right? Because the last couple months, we've been getting Bradley Beal's going here, Bradley Beal's going there. Ah, even if these guys are good, Bradley Beal's going to leave. 9-3. You know? Best team in the Eastern Conference. One of the deepest squads. You got Harrell. You got Kuz. You got Spence. You got Beal. And you got my guy Rui. Mr. Rui. My guy Rui. Hachimura. I hope I said your last name right. I really do. I don't want to screw that up. If I did, I'm sorry. I know you're probably not listening to this anyways, but still, I'm sorry. They had a couple highs, more highs than lows. When you look at the squad, you're like, okay, it's only like 13, 14, 12 games into the season. And, you know, in my opinion, man, they have beaten Boston. They have beaten Milwaukee. Their options are endless. These are highs right here. Like, their options are endless when it comes to, like, who to go to. So, but the biggest high right here so far this early into the season is Bradley Beal shutting down these trade rumors in multiple press conferences where he's like, yeah, I ain't going nowhere. Yeah, I'm not, like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, you know? So the fact that their star player is saying, I'm committing to this. I like what we have so far. I like what we're doing. I like what the front office has done for the team. I like what they've done for me as a player, as a star player in this league. And to get that confirmation, give it out to the fans of Washington, that's a big, big plus. There's only one problem. One massive low so far in this season is that their schedule has been extremely weak. Facing Toronto multiple times, Memphis. It hasn't been like, okay, like they got smacked by Brooklyn, you know? So when you see those guys, when you see Brooklyn, when you see Milwaukee, when you see Miami continuously in the season, you know, that's when team's gonna start taking you seriously. Yes, you beat Milwaukee. Yes, you beat the defending champs. Yes, cool. That's all, you know, that's all cute and stuff, but when you see the big teams, we'll know who's good. We'll know who's really, really good after All-Star break. That's usually when teams kind of situate themselves, but what Washington has shown us so far has been spectacular. Hopefully it goes on, you know. I like seeing my guy Beal hoop. Got you in a couple of fantasy leagues. So keep doing your thing, my guy. Gonna jump over here in this Zoom call with my guy, Sadiq Muhammad, and we're gonna rant about my Boston Celtics real quick. So all right,
is that
my
a
guy.
Mac Jones jersey? Go ahead, sorry.
Nope, Cam Newton. You like it?
All right.
What's good, bro? How you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Actually, you know what, bro? I'd be lying if I told you I was good. All right. So I think the folks know why you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Sadiq Muhammad from Off the Skip. You know what I'm saying?
What's up, everyone?
My guy. Listen, bro, I'm just getting straight to it. Boston lost to Cleveland. They're playing Cleveland right now, as I speak, right now. Yes, right now, yep. As I'm recording this.
They're down by two at halftime.
Thank you very much for updating me. They were up by 20-something, double digits, going into the fourth quarter. Coach Ime sits everyone out. I'm talking as the guys who led us there. We end up losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers by 2 points on a miss from Dennis Schroeder. Mm-hmm. That could have tied the game and sent it to another overtime this season, which is seeming like it seems like a continuous thing. My question to you is, list out your positives and then list out your negatives. You can start wherever and I'll bite off of where you start because I feel like we have the same mind right here.
Let me start off with a negative. All right. My major negative, no matter what. I truly think that we are the worst fourth quarter team. And I saw some stats earlier, but we are, when it comes to every major stats, points, assists, rebounds, steals, blocks, efficiency, we are bottom 20.
Yeah.
In every of those stats, only the fourth quarter. We decide to, and I mean, but you watched the game, those turnovers we had in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I didn't think the Cavs were lockdown defenders. I was like, you know, I never thought of them as a defensive team. And maybe I'm missing something this year, but I don't see a lineup with Rubio and Darius Garland getting seven steals in the fourth quarter.
No, me neither. It's crazy. I think a lot of the reason I think we lost was because, one, coaching. I really absolutely hate some coaching decisions where you know you're not going to have Al on a, you know, back-to-back. And all you're doing is playing Robert Williams when you have Enes Kanter on the bench who doesn't get 1 minute of playing time. Mm-hmm. And we all know what he could do when it comes to crashing the boards. But there was this interesting stat that a friend of mine, you know, big ups to Henri, put on the group chat where it says Boston Celtics fourth quarter ranks. You ready to get your mind blown?
That's what I was talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you want to say it since you were talking? Go ahead, bro.
Oh, I don't know it. This is purely off eye test. I felt like we are bottom 20 in everything. We have to be.
Bottom 20. I think the lowest we have is the highest. Actually, the lowest is 27th.
So the lowest. So not
so,
even bottom.
So we're in the fourth quarter in offense, we're 28th. Defense, we're 27th. Net rating, we're 29th. Assist percentage, we're 29th. Points, 29th. Turnovers, 30th. Plus minus, 29th. All in all, yeah. My guy, all in all, worst team in the NBA when it comes to the fourth quarter. And I just want to quote this. Big Henri. Henri was like, quote unquote, Celtics stink. Because I agree with him wholeheartedly, bro. But when you sub out the guys that got you where you were supposed to, you know, where you are, it's not a good way to 20 point leads are nothing. They're nothing. I said that earlier in my last segment with LA.
You did. But here's the thing though, and here's the way I look at it. A good team. All right. I'm thinking like the teams that are consistently good in regular season, the Suns, the Jazz, the Nuggets, you know, the teams that are always good in regular season, right? I'm looking at them, I'm like, you put a 20-point lead, even if they put in their bench, it's not going to be, because we put in our bench, and not gonna, like, honestly, I feel like Tatum still came in just sat the bed for a quarter. That's just me, right? Yeah. But majority players on the court were bench players, role players, and it's like we forgot about the basketball. Every pass was to the other team. I want to blame Udoka. I do. I want to point the finger.
You have to, bro. You have to.
Here's my issue, though.
You're a coach. You should know where you should know.
I agree. But to me, I'm watching the game, and he called the right timeouts. Yeah, he's not perfect, but we always do this thing at Celtics fans. Last 4 years, point the finger there, and point the finger there. There's something found in the foundation that this is like clockwork. That we choke for quarter leads. We can't finish games. Ever since, I'm going to say it, ever since we lost Kyrie, I hate saying that guy's name, but since we lost him, found in our foundation is being choke artists. It's we have this lead, let's play with it. It's let's do the worst play possible down the stretch.
Okay.
And so, And I can't. Here's the thing. I blame Udoka, but we just said it to Brad. So I'm like, we just keep pointing fingers until we go down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, bro. This fourth quarter stuff that we're talking about right here, man, it brings a good segue out to my following question, which was, we got two of the best young superstars in the NBA. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Who is Muhammad Sadiq giving the ball to in the fourth quarter? And who's running this squad? Are you JB or JT?
Now, if you asked me this before the season started, I would look dead in the eye and say, it's Tatum. Everyone, the mother knows it.
I agree with you. Yeah.
However, one player this season to me has stood up consistently. Even when he had like one bad game, I can really remember every other game he made an effect somewhere. Right? I'm giving that ball. And Tatum has been doo-doo, a poop stain inside my underwear in this year. All right? I'm giving the ball to Jaylen Brown. Yeah. I still think Tatum's ceiling is higher. I still think we all agree his ceiling should be higher.
Yep.
But he's not. But right now, who's playing better? Brown. And I'll be honest, I don't think it's that close. I don't think it's that close.
It's not. You want to get this. Jaylen Brown this year is averaging 25.6 points per game. Mm. Jason Tatum, how much you think he's averaging?
It's got to be like 22. It's got to be like 22.
23 and a half. Although his stats have been going up since Jaylen's out. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense.
Jaylen's also averaging 6.1 rebounds and 2.5 assists in the 8 games that he's played this year. So I would have to agree with you and say JB's the guy.
Well, but what bothers me, though.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what bothers me isn't even the point, because I know they both score. I think Tatum just now reached 40%. I think. Maybe after that last Cavs game.
Barely.
Barely. Still,
yeah. He was sitting at 30. Still not. Not him. Yeah.
And I think, honestly, I know people say it's the ref. I agree. The rest of them kind of been holding us. We're not getting the free throw numbers good. But I feel like that's across the league. No one's getting the free throw calls that they get anymore. And I think, again, it goes back to mindset. And, like, I hate to say it, where Brown and Tatum still complain for calls. I think where Tatum wants that call, Brown's going for the finish. It's that small little difference. Because Brown, the paint, I trust him versus anyone. I'll say go up. Now my Tatum wants to foul. He knows he's going to get fouled. It should be a free throw. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not. And that's the ref's fault. But we can't keep blaming the refs. We can't do it every single game.
Yeah.
You know? So
Here's what I have to say, man. There's been a consistent pattern with Jason Tatum's play. Okay? You want to know the pattern? Start off slow. Gradually build up as the season goes on. He's done it the last 3 years. He's done it while Kyrie was with us. So I hope it's going down that trend, but I don't like the way it's starting.
Yeah, it's just the worst start he's had since
his rookie season. Yeah.
Yeah, but his rookie season, his job was just to be a catch and shoot. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, since he got this bigger role, this has been his worst start of his career. His worst 10-game stretch, I don't know what you want to call it, whatever this is right now.
It's 11 now.
Plays, dude.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah. 11 or 12. 12 games. They're 6-8. Yeah. Yep. More than 12. What? Yeah, boy, I'm tripping. Anyways. Go ahead, say it, because we do suck.
I was going to say, we suck right now, but I think, I will say it's a positive, because I feel like we'd be rats on negatives. Which is, there's a lot of them. Let me get this straight. There's a whole lot more negative than there's positive. It's not close. Positive, I like Dennis Schroeder. He's not perfect, but if he's off your bench for $5 million, please, give me that every year. Give me that every freaking year. That was a steal to free agency, because he can come in and give you 30 on any given night.
Yeah. He's been averaging 28 points the last three games, my bad. But
I'm glad he's doing it when JB's out. He knows his rules. Like, okay, he knows this is their team. Yeah, but man, as a third scorer, I guess he'd be our third scorer. Why not? Yeah. Off the bench?
Yeah, positive. I think there's a lot of positives relay straight up, because it relates to the fact that, JB comes back, team works better. they work better as a squad when JB's on the floor. That's a big positive. Another positive is seeing Jason's game go up gradually, but slowly, surely he'll get there. A negative is just coaching, bro. The decision making. Be better. Be better. Be better. That's all. That's all we ask for as a fan. When we get a coach, bro, it's, people think, oh, like, okay, you're subbing this guy in, you're subbing that guy out. That's it. Nah. It doesn't work like that. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
It's X's and O's.
Yes. Right? Sir. Yeah.
It's adjusting to how you play in the first half to the second half. Right? So if you're not able to do that at the professional level, then there's going to be bigger problems for this squad.
Yeah. And I think personally, you know, because if you name the best coaches, right? To me, the best coach in the league, I'll say right now, my best coaches, I got two of them. I got Quinn Snyder and the Heat coach whose name I said.
Eric Spoelstra.
Eric Spoelstra. Yeah. I was blanking. All right. And Quinn Snyder, like, he does with the best he can. He knows he has Rudy Gobert. He has to play him. I know people get mad in the playoffs, but you have to play Rudy Gobert if you have him. Not a question. You have to play him before. Eric's number one. That guy, and maybe it's a skill, maybe it's a mind, maybe it's the feel of the game he has. Even when his team's out, it's that one is the culture, which I think we're lacking a culture right now. I think we keep trying to switch things up and keep signing, right? Like, we created with Marcus Smart being on something, 7 years, and that's our longest Celtic.
I think it's 10 years now. Isn't it 10 years?
10 years now?
Let me see. I think it's 10 years.
It might be.
I'm pretty sure it's getting there, man. He's the longest tenured, right?
Yeah. But maybe it's the coaching. I feel like our culture needs to like.
You're right. You're right. He got drafted 2014. Yeah.
Come on, brother. Look at his forehead game. But man. Look, I think our culture needs to, we don't have what's our identity? The Jazz are past, every top team has an identity. Outside of the Lakers, even right now they're not top. Before this era of the season, they had, it's LeBron. When they have LeBron, the culture follows automatically. But you have the Jazz with their passing, the Heat with the defense and hard work. The Bucks are all about everything for Giannis, you know? Every good contending team, the Nuggets are spaced out for Jokic and pass.
The Nuggets don't even have Jamal. I don't know how people just disregard the Nuggets. Jamal is literally on the bench, guys. But anyways, continue. Sorry, bro.
No, but that's what I'm saying, though. Even that's what a team of culture does.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm going to show you a perfect example of this. Last night, Jimmy Butler didn't play for the Heat. He didn't, or maybe 2 nights ago. I can't remember when they played the Jazz. Guess who was their point forward?
Who?
Because normally Jimmy. It was PJ Tucker. He just stepped up in that role. Yeah. And people call him crazy. Go back and watch that game. I watched the whole game. PJ was their point forward. He brought the ball. You know why? He knew it was the culture. This is what my job. I'm moving on. And after the game, he was questioned. And he said, if you're doing this for the accolades and for the recognition, you're
on the wrong sport. Yep. Wrong team.
Wrong sport. Whatever he said.
Yeah.
That's the culture. You feel that. What's our culture? What are we known for?
Nothing.
We keep trading pieces, and I get it. Trade, make your team better. Yeah. But you got to – and I say this about every team. You need something to build on. And I love Marcus Smart. I'm his biggest fan. We're building on Marcus Smart? Is that our culture? I know people say JB and Tatum are getting there, but the pieces around them keep moving. They keep going around. I want us – even if we suck and we don't make money, let's be sound. Let's know who we are for a season, for half a season. Let's just figure out who we are. Are we a defensive team? Are we a defensive team like the Heat or in the Jazz? Are we a high scoring team like the Nuggets? You know, what are we? Are we a rebounding team? What are we? Are we the Raptors? We all play together. Are we the Lakers? Hey LeBron, and do you? Or the Bucks, Giannis, do you? What are we? Because 1 week is Tatum's team, the next week is Brown's team. You know what I mean? And 1 week, we're number one in defense. We're locking down everything. Next week, the Hornets are scoring 150 on us.
There's no identity. I agree.
The Cavs scored 91 points. That's a great defensive game. Eight or nine times out of 10.
Without our best defensive big.
Exactly. We score 89. But then yeah. we decide to stop scoring. It just makes no sense. We don't have an identity.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, you guys heard it first. Sadiq Mohammed from Off the Skip. Celtics.
I'm very angry, guys.
Weekly Celtics rant. Hit that subscribe button. If y'all haven't subscribed to my guy, Mohammed, y'all hit that subscribe button for him too. Man, yo, Sadiq, you got nothing to say?
Listen, man.
Want to plug anything?
The Patriots going to Super Bowl. Two.
Chill. Chill.
Don't. Sadiq is loving on all social medias.
Yeah. Off the Skip too.
Off the Skip, you know, Off the Skip on the gram, on the Facebook, on the YouTube, off the site. You know, we here, baby. That's all I got.
Yep. Weekly Celtics rant. It's going to become a thing, guys. It's going to become a thing. Hopefully, we don't have to rant too much in the future.
Yeah, I'm very passionate.
Y'all take care. Yo, Sadiq, easy, bro. Love you.
Yes, sir. Yep. All right, brother.
All right.
Love you, too.